truly disabled. And what's happened, especially in Kentucky over time, the state's really expanded Medicaid. And I compare Kentucky and Tennessee. Tennessee didn't expand Medicaid. Tennessee has about 18.5% of their state on Medicaid. And Kentucky, if you count the Children's Health Insurance Program and Medicaid, some government health care, we have 35% of the state on Medicaid. That's people that get it for free. Now, I support Medicaid, and there's always going to be a role for Medicaid, but it's supposed to be temporary, and unless you're disabled, and it's supposed to be, somewhere around 20, maybe 25%. I don't think Kentucky and Tennessee are that different, but we've got it, in the mid-30s, and I think that's one reason the Senate made changes to Medicaid. So we're going to work. And you got a great state representative, a great state senator here. We're going to work with everyone. And Brett Guthrie is the congressman from Bowling Green, and he's the Medicaid guy in the House. I always feel sorry sometimes when I have a committee hearing. If you watch my oversight committee hearings in Washington, they're a very unruly group of congressmen and women in both parties on my committee. But then I think Brett, poor old Brett, he's the one writing the Medicaid language, and that's in the worst job in Washington. So. Appreciate him, and again, I always say this when we got a lot of healthcare people in here, we're going to work with you to try to make it succeed. I had a great conversation with your hospital administrator. This is kind of a build as like a little town hall. I wanted to give a Washington update, and then I thought we'd open it up for some questions. With the update, I have to say, because you're going to hear the news very soon, the government could shut down again. Hope and pray it doesn't. But what happened, the way the process is supposed to work in Washington, this is the way it's supposed to work, the regular order. There's not one budget bill like what y'all have in Frankfurt. It's supposed to be 12 different appropriations bills. Like there's an agriculture appropriations bill and a defense appropriations bill, pretty much close to the cabinets, the different cabinets in the administration. It's supposed to pass each individual bill. It's supposed to get through committee, and then you go to the floor, and people can make amendments, and it passes. Then it goes to the Senate, the same thing, and then they have a conference committee like you do in Frankfurt, and the Senate and the House iron out the differences. And it takes a long time to do that. It's been 16 years. I've been in Congress 9. It's been 16 years since that's happened. So it's completely broken, and what happens is maybe Congress will pass one or two, or in this case, three of the 12 appropriations bills, and then they'll lump the other nine in a what's called a continuing resolution or an omnibus bill, and you can't amend it. It's very difficult. People get mad, and they refuse to vote for it, because if you've got a budget for all of, let's say agriculture, because I'm an agriculture guy, you got all the agriculture, and that's all your like SNAP program, your food programs is in agriculture. There's a lot of research funding for the University of Kentucky, all the land grant universities, all your extension, a lot of that stuff's in the agriculture appropriation bill. And people get mad. They want more food stamps. They want less food stamps. And I'm not voting for this. I'm not voting for that. And it's hard to get to 218 in the House and then 60 votes in the Senate. So. They just lump everything into a continuing resolution. We passed three of the appropriations bills 2 weeks ago. And then the other nine, it was a continuing resolution until January. So the biggest majority of the federal budget is only funded until January. And so supposedly in the meantime, we're supposed to come up with some solutions for healthcare, just like you can come up with a solution for all the healthcare problems in 2 weeks over Thanksgiving and Christmas break. So call me skeptical, but it's going to be another rough ride, I'm afraid, heading into January, but we'll try to get that done. I want to mention that we work very closely. My field rep, Austin Weatherington, in the back. Wait, everybody look at Austin. He's in charge of complaints. If anybody's unhappy, take it out on Austin. And The mayor's nice enough. We have a little office here. Austin, when he's in Madisonville, I take a lot of offices, meet a lot of meetings in the office when I'm in Madisonville. And you know, we try to communicate with all the stakeholders in the community, all the leaders in the community, to see what we can do. It's important for me to know how different types of federal policies impact in businesses here, if it's helpful, if it's hurtful. We try to work with our businesses here in Hopkins County to navigate the federal bureaucracy and things like that. So those are some of the things that we do. We have a great staff on my staff that help people with Social Security benefits, Medicare benefits. If you need help with a passport, we work with a lot of couples that are adopting children overseas. We work with farmers that have issues with their H-2A workers. I mean, we do a lot of what I call casework, constituent work. So don't hesitate to call our office if you've got any type of issue with the federal government. If you own a business and you've got an issue with OSHA or EPA or you know, any of those agencies, we'll try to help you in any way we can navigate that complicated federal bureaucracy. So that's something that we do. Before I open it up for some questions, if anybody has any questions, I do want to make a presentation. I'm sure everybody knows this, but your mayor was just named the elected official.